Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Hey, I apologize for the dead air. Apparently, I could get back
in
the studio.
I can't hear what's on your end.
I was kicked out of the studio, but we're here. Wayne, Derek, are you there?
Well, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. I apologize for the technical difficulties. I'm not sure what's going on. But we're here.
No worries. Adapt, improvise, and overcome. That's the life of a patriot, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, there's been quite a few things that have happened in the last few days. And, you know, I think the world is finally taking notice that it's not just a one country, one nation aspect, that it's truly a government-controlled chaos. What are your thoughts of... What have your thoughts been since the last time you and I had a discussion on the show, brother? What are you seeing?
Oh, my goodness, man. In 3 days, Canada has gone from zero to warp 16. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And the thing that is absolutely melting my brain right now as we speak, even, and we spoke just before the show, and my brain is completely befuddled right now because I'm seeing this same rate of escalation globally, not just in Canada, in the States, and we're going to talk about that, and people are sending me videos from Europe, from Belgium, from Greece, from Iran, and there is never even anything in creative science fiction writing that I think is would have been able to prepare us for what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. And I'm not trying to fearmonger with that. That's just what I'm seeing.
You know, I've seen this go from a joke, people laughing about it on social media, thinking it's funny. So witnessing this firsthand, you know, I went to the grocery store the other day, and, you know, you and I had talked about this, and you said, well, it wasn't that bad up there yet. And then I go to the grocery store. There's no meat. There's no canned goods. There's no toiletries. I mean, half the store was empty, and I asked the guy, when are you going to get another truck? He said, this is our truck. And... you know, it started to dig deep in my heart, and I shared it with a couple other patriots across the world, and we all got the same sentiment. You know, it's happening in their own backyard. You know, this is a government-controlled chaos. You know, that's what I would look. You know, first and foremost, people, it's a huge smokescreen to take our eyes off of everything that is truly going on, and we'll get to that in a second. But the thing of it is we're going to be put in the worst situations of our lives. Canadians, Americans, Germans, whatever you may be, we're going to have to stand the test of our true strength, our true heart, to get through what is going on. You know, the government is covering up a lot. And, you know, Wayne, I kind of want to bring up something with you because... this is truly biological terrorism in its finest form. You know, they're at the point now that they're controlling the people. And now they're limiting what we're going to have assets, you know, or aspects to. But I want to get your thoughts, bro, on the stepping down of Bill Gates.
Another incredibly significant question to what's happening right now, I believe, because I don't believe in anything of this is coincidence. It's impossible that this is all coincidence. And from the very first minute that I heard about this illness getting loose in China, I immediately had put two and two together, because I was doing some work, some deep diving onto Bill Gates, and he had just announced a major partnership with the mandatory vaccination companies of the world. And this really struck me, because this was right following behind this pandemic test that he had gone through with, I can't even count how many nations and whatnot. I think they called it Operation 201 or something. And so these things started to line up. And so now we've seen this, just merely a few months later, this exact scenario playing out. And they've succeeded. And I think that what we're looking at from the fight on, from the belly of the beast, and there's a lot of great big fight going on above us that we don't see. And I think this is this whole thing is a cat that got under the bag, and it's coming down to the big fight of globalism versus nationalism. And I think both sides have been taking a look at this as an opportunity to immediately take a lock on their stances. And when you look at Mr. Bill Gates' involvement in all of this, Microsoft is a very small fish in the big pond of corporations, and it's a well-established company. It does not need him at the helm to be driving that bus. His attention right now is more focused on this opportunity and merger with the mandatory vaccination companies and tracking chip IDs to fulfill the global agenda, which we all know he's one of the biggest supporters of, and not just in spirit, but if you look at the donators, the people that donate to the Bill Gates Foundation and all of his foundations, they are the premier elite 101 of the globalist technocrat movement.
Yeah, you know, and just to let What's Up Canada and my listeners know, the aspect that you were referring to, the Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation held an event on October 29th, people, 2019. Okay, the event was called 201, in which a pandemic preparedness scenario was a virus that killed millions of people. This virus was called the coronavirus. Now, this event that you speak of was held in 2019. Here we are in 2020. They've unleashed it on the people. But what I find more interesting is that the Pertwright Foundation or Institute, you know, and the dealings with Gates is, it's crazy. You know, we're looking at the release of a virus that was, you know, some aspects were to end what was going on in Hong Kong. You know, I think there was much more of a global agenda to this. You know, you look at everything that is coinciding step by step. You know, humanity is being controlled as if we were puppets. You know, the people really need to know the truth, because this is going to take us to a chip society, a cashless society. And, you know, the agenda, the UN Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and the George zones, you know, I got to tell you, man, when you put everything together, it puts together a pretty ugly puzzle.
It puts together a pretty interesting movie script that people would buy, right?
Yeah, most definitely.
And when we take a look at where the power and influence and control of all of these billions of people comes from, it is exactly those people. They write the movies. They make the movies. They write the news. It's the same people that write the movies that write the news. And the news is bought and paid for by the most whoever has the most value in it, who can gain the most, who can outdo each other from one conspiracy to the next. And this is the part that we struggle with on our sides is, and I'm going to say that conspiracy theorist label, because people want to denigrate what you're talking about, like conspiracies never happen. Like, that's just so bizarre that you should want to talk about something that they don't understand. They immediately label you a theorist. And conspiracies have been around since the beginning of tribal power, right? So for people to exclude any possibility of that, like, people doing bad things is flawed, extremely flawed.
Well, yeah, you know, Kay, people, to get a better understanding of what Wayne and I are speaking of, biological terrorism is to fearmonger the people into toxic injections that will likely, you know, spread or worsen the man-made pandemic. You know, what this is going to correlate to is mandatory vaccination, restriction of travel, military control, which is martial law, and quarantine. You know, the global elites of the United Nations are pushing for a mandatory vaccination. You know, Canada has had its own fights with the UN. They really don't care for the UN, and neither do I. You know, did you at first realize or, you know, think that the UN had its hand just as deep into the subject as, you know, the Gates and others that are involved, sir?
No, it took me years of digging. When I was in high school, and now this is going back several decades, not just one or two anymore, but the terms of one world government seemed grand and honorable and those kinds of things. So it was always there. But I really started to question things through the Iraq War, the first Iraq War. At that time, I myself wasn't too far removed from having, you know, served some time in the reserves at that time. So I was very in tune to that, and that was when I really started to ask questions. So this is going back a couple of decades now, right? It's been 19, 20 years since the war started down there. And so my trips down to the rabbit hole really started then, and it's been – just when you think it can't get any more bizarre or any more connected or any more worse, it does, and it does tenfold. And some of the things that we don't tend to take into account is the amount of information travel, how life is lived. It has moved, sped up in quantum time. When we were kids, there was no such thing as any more than 40 hours for a business work week. Well, now business goes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Billions of dollars are transferring hands every second of the day. So does information, so does greed, so does conspiracy, so does nefarious planning and strategy. And after you've been digging into it for enough years, you realize that these processes, these agendas are decades in the making. And then when you start looking deeper and you start seeing who's involved, and it's the same old thing. Follow the money. Same as the police, same as journalism. Everything is always about follow the money. And sooner or later, you'll get to a really bad smell.
Yeah, most definitely. Is Derek on here with us?
Yeah, I'm right here.
You know, Derek, I would like to get your thoughts on the Universal Biometric Identity and ID 2020. You know, the UN says it's the ultimate and absolute control over humanity. What are your thoughts into that issue?
Well, I think they're going to implement it in people so they can keep track of them and where they're at. And, you know, put your driver's license on it, your banking information on it. That way they have full control of you.
This is crazy.
Kind of like a monitoring system.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what I'm basically trying to, you know, curtail to the people. You know, as we put a car tracker on our car, a chip in our dog, or whatever, this is going to give the higher powers access to know your location, know everything about you, you can't take a step without them knowing where you're at, what you're doing, and all aspects of your life. So the decline of what we call freedom of speech, the decline of our Constitution, really is meaningless if we go to this aspect. What are your thoughts on that scenario? I'll put it to you, Derek, first, and then you, Wayne.
Sorry, I was distracted there. What'd you say? I was looking up something.
Wait, go ahead and answer.
Here, go ahead.
It's so already so normalized that it's the next step. It's the next evolution of their process, and it's we've been told about this social credit system in China, and they control people that way, where if you jaywalk, it finds you before you get to the other side, and then it tells you that you're not allowed to get on a transit system. So our Western culture here, our do it one better, is absolutely looking at taking the next leapfrog step. And we're seeing this. I think it was the RBC that just announced here a week or two ago that they were investing $5 billion in crypto blockchain currency. So this is how they're absolutely going to control us. First, they're going to use this. And I mean, it's the next step. We're already controlled by our devices. We do everything by off of our devices. So if they make that something that is we have to carry with us, we don't even get the choice of a device anymore on what we want to choose and follow. How we do trade and business exchange currency, they move to a cashless currency, they've absolutely got us by control. So this whole global event right now, because I hate to use those words, they're getting people flagged and their videos demonetized and removed and channels taken down here in Canada extremely hard right now for any reference to it. Unless it comes from the WHO, you are silenced right now. So we've got this totalitarian system that is just this huge dark cloud that's just coming down and creating this fog around people, and the darkness of this fear and panic is what they need to justify us accepting this next step. Well, I mean, it's really no different. It's more convenient than touching your phone and the interact pads, because you can transmit germs if you touch the interact pad. If you've got this chip underneath your palm, the thumb of your hand, you can just wave it over the device like you do your swipe pass, and you don't have to touch anything. You'll be safe. You can go to public places and not have to touch keypads or notes or phone numbers or anything like that, right? So just after 911, we accepted for our own good, for our safety, all of these what we would have called radical and extreme changes to travel around the world globally. We changed that in a night, and things move quicker now than they did even then. And so this is what I believe is it's a race right now between the fight for freedom with those that believe in alternative thinking and alternative research and the underground, I guess, because in every war, whether it's a digital economic war like we're experiencing right now, or whether it was World War II, there is a resistance of the free-willed people. And this is happening right now globally, just like everything else happens globally now that used to take a horse a week to get information. It happens instantaneously. So we've got things like Q and Patriot groups all over the world that are working against us that believe something extremely different. So I think there's no way that this could be coincidence or happenstance, and there's too many things that don't add up. I think we're seeing the good versus evil of our Earth period happening right in front of our eyes, and we're a part of it. And I don't think that it's going to get better until it gets a whole lot worse over the next couple of weeks. But it's just, I think it's just way bigger than us as individuals.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. You know, do you think this is a push towards, well, it is a push towards global socialism, but do you think, you know, because as I dig deeper into this, I don't blame the left so much anymore. And some of your listeners might go, holy crap, I can't believe you just said that. But to me, as the more I research, I feel this is a multi-party aspect. I don't feel that you could blame the left or the right. I think it's a push from both parties. What are your thoughts?
I think this is absolutely what we're seeing, is we're seeing a push and tug between nationalism and globalism. And in that regard, Canada is quite a lot further left-leaning, shall we say, towards that globalism than what America has. America backed out of the Migration Compact. They backed out of the Paris Accord. They've been distancing themselves from the United Nations and globalism ever since Trump came into power. So even whether, you know, people want to say that I talk, you know, or I'm along the lines of the conspiracy people, the facts are, this is exactly what is happening. We're seeing it play out, where Canada is not only adopting these globalist policies, but they are enforcing them and creating meaningful consequences and change. And Canada is literally right now going through a shift in power and currency, perhaps now, and absolutely law and justice towards global United Nations law and order and justice and all of these things than it ever was, as what we know of as Canadian law and order and society. So in 4 years, we've come a long way there. So now here we have a perfect storm of events just when Canada was experiencing this extremely uncomfortable shift from democracy to one world governance. We have this health event, global health event, which within days there was some UN delegates that were quoted as saying this would be a better tool for advancing their one world agenda than even the climate hoax was. So, I mean, without having the quote in front of me, I can't elaborate more than that, but that was a pretty clear indicator just within days of it becoming public that this was rampant in China.
Yes, sir. You know, let me pose a question to Derek. Derek, you hear Wayne's thoughts. You hear him articulate himself quite well. You know, where is Trudeau coming up with these millions and millions of dollars to house, feed, clothe all of these new people, new aspects that he's bringing into Canada? And what do you feel is the aspect and the scenario behind that? You know, because, you know, he's pumping millions of dollars into people that he's bringing in from other places that are actually, you know, as we know, criminals and terrorists and other aspects. Where is this drive being funded from?
There's a lot of aspects. We've actually seen a chart not that long ago. He's connected to so many, like, NGOs and foundations, and I believe it's foreign money that's being pooled into Canada. It's kind of like the Maytag dryer money laundering, you know. So that's how he's getting his money from different places. There's so many of them. We didn't even dent maybe about five or six of them. There's hundreds of them that he gets money from.
You know, Wayne, how demoralizing is it as a Canadian patriot to see your prime minister, you know, bring in these other people and give them better lives than the people that have lived their whole life in Canada? You know, because to me, being in the United States, if my president was to do that, you know, I would be the first to piss and whine about it. How hard is it for you as a patriot, knowing that you and thousands of other countless patriots are fighting this fight, yet to see the, you know, the leader of your country continue to demoralize it by bringing in aspects of criminal mischief?
You know, being demoralized is something that I've been I want to articulate this right because I don't want to offend people by it either, but it's something that I'm past now. We don't have time for that anymore. We don't get to pick and choose anymore. All we can do now is react to what is happening around us. And I have to look at it now as being I have to take responsibility for my own actions. So within that, I cannot allow myself the weakness, the victimhood of being demoralized. And maybe that goes part back to things I was trained earlier in my life, that a leader doesn't lead by turning around and seeing who's following him. A leader is moving forward, believing that people are following him, and that's it is what it is. So I'm not looking behind to see or judge anybody that is following what I'm doing. I just get up and I do, and I don't take the time to be demoralized. I mean, it hurts me for other people to see them when they're demoralized, and I try to help them, and I take time out of my day every single day, and I'm extremely accessible that way to people that know me. They can reach me, and I will help them, but I don't allow demoralization. There's no time for that right now. It's the time of the patriot, as Mr. Trump said so eloquently from the United Nations stage, and it's time for the Minutemen to stand up and women, and we're out of time, I think, for being overly courteous. We've got to get away from this Canadian standoff, and we've got to show some pride and some fight for our nation while we can.
You know, I have to agree with you 100%, brother. You know, over the last few days, you and I have correlated with each other, and you had said something to me when I told you that I went to the store and I couldn't find any meat. I couldn't find any rice or beans or canned goods. And you said, "I wish there was something I could do for you, brother." And I responded back, "There's nothing you can do." And now Canada is starting to see this major aspect perplexed in your country. You know, how hard is it going to be for the Canadians to pick themselves up and survive what has just now become? Because, you know, us here in the States, my brothers in Germany, my brothers in the UK, my brothers from all over the world have reached out to me, and they're scared. We're truly scared. You know, people made fun of us, like I said in the beginning of the show, people made fun of us, you know, for going out and buying things and stocking up on things. But, you know, were we stupid? No. We saw a realization happening before our eyes, and the ones that were smart enough that had families realized that we had to take care of our families. Now you have schools out. Now you have all these forced closures on everything, airports, state of emergencies down here in the United States. How is that being played out in Canada, and how much do the people of Canada now need to take heed and go to the stores and stock up, because we don't know how long we're going to be shut down or when everything is going to be shut down?
Now, I'm going to answer that with something of a controversial response, but it's the reality of the situation. When you ask how this is going to play out for Canadians, now I have to point out the difference between new Canadians and old Canadians. because there is a significant difference. The new Canadians are a significant number. Now, these people are still, no matter whether they've come here in the last year or the last 6 or 7 years, are all almost 100% dependent on the system, on the socialist communist system in place. The old stock Canadians have networks, they have families, they are established, they have communities, they have resources that an understanding of the nature, Mother Nature, that we are in. They, I'm 10,000% sure, will fare better over the long term than the new Canadians will, because the entire socialist communist system is going to crumble. It is going to come apart at the seams, and there is going to be no alternative for those people that don't have that farm family background, that network to the rural community to connect with. The urban populations where they've concentrated these new Canadians in are going to be hardest hit. And with these kinds of things, we're already seeing reports of food banks being broken into and robbed, armed robberies. They're already escalating. And this is, I guess, the number one message for Canadians is that you don't have time for the calm approach to long-term preparingness right now. Your particular plight down there right now in your grocery stores is just now starting to play itself out here in Canada today. I have no doubts that tomorrow in Canada things will still be resupplied here, but the pure panic buying that's going on for even what are still functioning supply lines here is crazy. To reference a video I shared with you earlier today, and this is right here in the city I'm in right now in Calgary, Alberta, today at one of the Costco stores, in minus 18 Celsius, which is minus 4 Fahrenheit, there was hundreds of people lined up in the snow, in the wind, with their Costco buggies in line, waiting to get in the store. How do we deal with people that are going to be completely dependent on the system when that system stops?
Yeah, that's the number one question. I mean, that's the million-dollar question. You know, I'm reading some of the comments on your live. I wish some Canadian patriots or just good old Canadian people would call into the show and let us know what they're dealing with. Let us know their plight, so the world knows. You know, the call lines are open. I haven't had a hack attempt yet. You know, I think it's important that you as patriots, you as Canadians, share your thoughts with the world, because this is why I do this show. You know, not only to keep you informed, but each and every Canadian that wants a voice that can be heard. You know, they can't, you know, Trudeau and all of Canada and their Facebook, whatever, can't shut my show down. My show is tremendous. We got in great numbers last time. I could give a crap if I got one like, as long as your story was told. You know, Wayne, we got a caller. I'm going to go ahead and take it, brother. We got a couple.
Awesome.
So, here we go. This is the Fighter's Voice.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you doing?
I just think with what's happening with the growth. Yes, I am.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller.
We got other callers. I just want to give her an opportunity in case
Sorry about that.
Okay, go ahead.
I just think with everything that's happening in the grocery stores, with all the meat shelves being emptied, all the toilet paper and all that stuff, I hope this is an eye-opener to all people that this is what's going to happen when you become socialism. Like, you're not going to have those shelves full.
No, you're truly not. Wayne, would you like to articulate on that?
They've made it extremely difficult for us to get news and information on. But Venezuela, from the time of their collapse, 2 weeks later, people were eating their pets, right, and worse, right? So this is absolutely what would be the norm if this is allowed to succeed and we give up our sovereign freedoms in North America.
You're truly not. Wayne, would you like to articulate on that?
We're getting some feedback from the caller there.
Okay, let me go ahead and hang up on that. So maybe we, there we go. Okay, let's go ahead and take the next caller. You're on the Fighter's Voice.
Hello?
Yeah, caller.
Hello.
You have a question? Yeah, caller, you have a question?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I know you. I traveled with United We Rode Ottawa with you. You were asking about plagues. Well, you know, the way things are going with the government right now, I work in the oil and gas industry. And I owned a truck hauling fluid in there. My truck got burnt, actually it was vandalism. And now I'm battling with insurance, and they don't want to pay me out. They want to pay me $70,000 less than what it's worth. You know, I'm in the midst of just about losing my house and my job. Like, and let's face it, Trudeau government sure isn't helping us at all. And as for globalism, I believe exactly what you're saying. You know, we're trying to, they're setting us up right now for a socialist, to be a socialist country. You know, and the next step is the world socialist, the world order.
Yeah,
you know,
we're looking at, go ahead.
Don't, go ahead.
I said, you know, I was just basically saying we're pretty much looking at the same as you, but go ahead and finish in your statement. I apologize for interrupting.
Oh, you know, it's I'm watching my, you know, my family fall apart here, eh? You know, and it's, you know, we're, Canadians are suffering. You know, I don't know why people don't want to either listen or at least, you know, at least look at what we're saying with an open mind. You know, like you said, we get labeled as terrorists and, you know, then people want to brush you off right away. You know, they don't even want to listen to you. Even though the evidence, it's all on the internet. It's easy to find. But they won't even look. That's the problem. How do we get people to look?
You know, I call that the ostrich syndrome. The ostrich sticks its head in the hole. They all stick their head in the hole and thinking the alligator's going to get them last. And when the alligator's got one, they'll be fine to carry on their day. And people don't learn the lesson until they price it. The price they pay is high enough. And I think we're all really quickly reaching that point where, but we don't have any unity. And that's exactly what you said. And this is because we are such a huge nation, and regional differences, although severe and painful, are what we tend to fight rather than the common source of all of these regional issues. So we've got to figure out how we can put away each of our individual, for 5 minutes, just put it away that I'm an Albertan, so I'm fighting for Alberta, or I'm from Ontario and I'm fighting for Ontario, and the East screwed the West screwed the East. We've got to put that all away and stop being afraid of what they might label us with, and just say, no, I'm Canadian, and these are valid points and arguments, and you will not silence us anymore. We have a right to speak, because when we speak up individually, we are easy to silence. When we stand out from the crowd, we are easy to pick out and take out of the crowd. So this is why these things are so important, to encourage other people while we still can, with a voice, to, you know, put it away for 5 minutes and unite on the common problem. And I challenge anybody to look into their problems in Canada, and most likely in the United States as well, but I can't speak for America. But on Canada's part, if there's a problem, if there's people that are suffering in Canada, you look under those rocks and through those layer of onions, and every single time it will come down to those same two little letters that are bound by their multi-generational goal to control everything and every aspect of our life. And this is the micro control that we weren't paying attention to, that all of our successive governments are complicit in allowing to happen, to get us to the point where we're at now, and we're getting a really rude awakening.
Yes, I agree. I mean, you know, I'm strong supporter with the Olivet, eh? I mean, you know my son, Jack. You probably remember me. We went across Canada with you.
Yeah, I do.
You know, yeah. You know, we're very involved in it. And you know, it's so disheartening to watch all this go on. You know, it seems like we had unity among the people as we went across Canada. And, you know, it just seemed to have lost steam.
Well, I'm gonna say that it didn't seem like we had unity when we were going across Canada. We absolutely had unity as we were going across Canada. And not only did we have that, we were the number one searched term on Google for 2 or 3 days running globally, internationally. Other countries were streaming what we were doing in Canada 24 hours a day. And that was created by two little things, hope and Canada. And if we
yep.
can make those things our priority, the people will always win. But we've got to put away the fear for 5 minutes and take a chance on Canada. Take a chance on our future, because if we don't take that chance real soon, that chance, that choice to that chance is absolutely going to be taken from you.
Oh, I agree 100%. 100%. I mean, I try every day to, you know, I post stuff all the time. You know, people, you know, and I try to talk to different people. I try to talk to people about it every day. At least one person. You know, I drive a truck, so I mean, I don't see a lot of people, but you know, where I dump off, I've got a couple of people that, you know, they're actually starting to see it. You know, so, I mean, if every person tried to go out and talk to one person every day, one.
I can tell you through what I've seen in a year and a bit since we made that trip to Ottawa, that this country is not the same in... obviously in the way its direction has gone, but it's also nowhere near the same in its level of awareness. And I truly feel and believe that the sleeping giant is just now starting to awaken, and things are going to get worse before they get better. But I do have faith and hope in Canadians. And as we've seen 3 days alter this happen, the whole world right now is changed over the last couple 3 days. I think when we come out the other side, it's going to be a much brighter, cleaner day, because a lot of people are going to learn some really hard lessons over the next couple of weeks, and it's going to force people to unite or perish.
Well, yes, we need to unite the whole country. Like, you know, we see, like you said, we're still separate within the provinces. You know, it seems like that, because, you know, people are, you know, like they're striving for their province. We want to get it better, you know, and that's what we need to look at, as all as unity, union as one. Because as one, we're a voice.
Well, and this is where we have to... We have to eliminate these foreign funded entities and their voices, because they're the ones that are coming in here now. And in the case of BC and in northern BC and the Wet'suwet'en, and initiating this UNDRIP law, which creates a double tier legal system in Canada. So we have foreign influences bribing and blackmailing our small groups of radicals with billions of dollars of funding and NGO funding and lobbyists that have now infiltrated right up to the policymakers that are driving this division. And we need to come together to a point to say, it doesn't matter whether you're an NGO or a lobbyist, if your money is not from a Canadian corporation, from a Canadian business, or a Canadian citizen, if your input comes from the United Nations, get out. Let Canadians sort this mess out and eliminate all foreign interference in Canada right now, and start from scratch again with a reset.
I agree. I think what we need to do is get rid of all the old school politicians. Guys, you know, I look at it this way. You're a politician. You go to school for to be a politician. You know, you live to be a politician. You know, that's how you make your living. You know, we need somebody that's in there that gets back to being a Canadian, the average Canadian. And, I mean, there's people in there that will help you to be advised. You know, we need somebody that's down to earth, that's an average Canadian. Not the elite. Not the Trudeau's. Not the, you know, like, I mean, he, you know, Trudeau's never going to have to worry a minute of his life. He's got some money. It's so much money. You know, so he ultimately doesn't care about the people that don't. As long as he's comfortable.
Well, that's the nature of the elite in any country, and sooner or later throughout history, it's proven that the people get rid of them, those kinds of people. And I truly think that right now what's happening, as horrible as for some people is going to be, people are going to die. It's going to be a change, and we're going to come out stronger. And I do believe that this whole thing is going to have the possibility to break this one world governance. Because of these things, countries are realizing that borders matter, right? These things are manufacturing matters. And when you can't buy a Q-tip in your own country for the next 6 months, guess what? Somebody's going to start up making Q-tips. And so we're going to see a real change in this supply chain management globally, which is the first big infrastructure point of the globalists. That's not going to say it's going to destroy China, but it's absolutely going to put the hands put the economies back in line with nationalism. And it's not going to take very, very long for people to get out of that social global system back to nationalism, and they're going to experience really strong surges in their economies and their lifestyle, because a manufacturing nation is a prosperous nation, right? So this I think is going to have a deep impact on the international banking and the supply chain management, if we can keep them from making a trade-off with the vaccinations and the tracking chips.
Yeah, I agree. You know, like, it's I mean, if we can only borrow money, and that's what he's doing, is, you know, he's borrowing money from the World Bank, right? You know, and I mean, once we're in debt so much to the World Bank, we're screwed. You know, so people don't seem to, they realize that, but where does the money come from? You know, you're borrowing money to give to third world countries.
Well, every $1.30 that we ask them to print sends a dollar to some other country.
That's right. That's crazy.
Yeah.
We can't keep on doing that.
Exactly.
You know, that's
this is where things are going to have people looking at alternatives and alternative solutions and taking a look at things that moving back to sweat and value-backed trade business. The barter economy is going to come back to life, and this dependence on fiat currency could theoretically be finished.
Yeah. Like, I've got a video by Rex Murphy. You know who he is.
He's a hero.
You bet. I got a video by him, and I'm telling you, that man says it's the best. I couldn't believe. You know, he actually, well, my heart welled up when I was listening to him, you know. I mean,
absolutely.
This country was built off resources. You know?
Yep.
I mean, and it made our country strong. And now we're taking away our resources. Well, how do we build things without resources, without minerals? How do we, you know, like, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, people want to get rid of this, and it's like they're trying to shut down the mining. They're trying to shut down the oil industry. They're trying, they systematically shut down the fishing industry. They, you know, they shut down the logging industry in BC. I mean, except for big corporations. You know?
Yeah.
The elite. I mean, I know.
Well,
I had a logging business in BC when the NDP government came in BC, and they squashed the industry. The little guy didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
it's disheartening because I come here, I work out here for 20 years, you know, start a whole new career, and now my career is disappearing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
really disheartening.
It really is, and this is where the biggest thing that I can do to encourage people is to step away from the keyboard and go and find some flesh and blood people.
Yep.
And this is going to be a challenge with the potential that's happening right now. But I can promise you that this technology that we're so dependent on has its merits, but there's also a huge price that we pay for that in our own social well-being with a lack of physical human interaction. I really appreciate your call, and I look forward to it again. I think Don's probably got some other folks on the line.
Yeah.
I'd like to give some of them a chance as well. Thank you very much for the insightful call.
You bet, guys. It's good to talk to
you. I appreciate you. Stay strong.
You
brother. Stay
Have
strong.
A good one, guys.
Yeah, take care.
Yeah, we've got other callers, so I'm going to go ahead and take the next call. You're on live on the Fighter's Voice. Yeah, you're with us.
Yeah, hi. It's Tom calling from close to Ottawa. I know Wayne and Derek. They might remember me. But
I remember you, Tom.
Okay, we met on the hill a couple of times. Yeah. I'm out near Perth now, about an hour west of Ottawa. And Wayne just covered pretty well everything, I guess, that I could have brought up. But let's just say that I was in Perth today in the grocery store, and it just seems to be a really funny attitude today with people. I was in the grocery store, and, of course, toilet paper aisles are empty. The paper aisles are empty. The cleaning supplies are down to next to nothing. The meat counters are low, but there's still stuff there, you know. But I talk to people, and they just kind of, they seem to know what's going on. They see the certain things are running low, but it doesn't seem to really be registering with them, and I don't really get it. Like, if I bring something up to someone, they sort of know what I'm talking about, but they just shrug it off and say, oh, yeah, I know, it's going to get bad, but okay, well, I'll talk to you later. You know, it's not going to get through until they get hungry and the panic starts, and that's what it's starting to really seem like to me.
Yeah, a lot of these people are walking around with blinders on, I find. They just kind of take the news and just let it, like, roll off and just continue on without even thinking that anything's bad or whatever, you know?
Well, you know, yeah. They've made it so difficult for the truth to be known. So even though that all of the mainstream media may not be telling us
the lies. They're not giving us the whole truth or anything of meat and potatoes to for the general public that isn't in one of these small oppressed forums. The people that are out there, all they have is this feeling that something is really wrong, and they have fear, and they have not a clue what to do about it, because everything that they know is wrapped up in the political system. They can only think or equate logic within a party fashion, or you know, so they're at a real loss of what to do. There's been nothing that has come along that has really grasped the emotion and the heart of the people to unite them. We just haven't got there yet. And I mean, there's a large portion of the population too that kind of lives in this Marvel comic book sense of hope and expectation that something is going to come along, somebody is going to appear and lead us or save us, and so there's a bazillion different things that go into that, it's going to be the smallest of things, the most innocuous of things that usually sends something viral. And the pile of tinder is really big in Canada right now. Which way it's going to go, or what it's going to take, I should say, Tom, I really haven't figured that out yet. You know, people know, they just haven't found the thing that relates to them yet that they can go, aha. But it's going to come. It's going to come. I think the blockades were almost a point. Had that carried on much longer, that's not to say that's over and done with yet, but we can't stop looking at who did that. Who derailed those trains?
Yeah.
Right? And it's already a forgotten story.
Sure it is. Yep. Yeah.
You know, caller, I truly appreciate you calling in, but I got one question before. I mean, my board is completely lighting up, but I got one more question for you, because it lies in my heart, and I think it lies in the hearts with all of the patriots and all of the Canadians. What are your thoughts on the aspects for the seniors? You know, do Canadians need to reflect at the knowledge that is in them, and do they need to protect them?
Well, you know, in a couple of months, I'm going to be a senior. I'll be 65 in a couple of months. And so I'm kind of, I guess, on the border. I don't really consider myself a senior, but you know, I mean, I kind of feel it creeping in, right? And
yeah.
I don't know that I would have a lot. How can I say this? I don't know what I would have to offer, but I do know, looking back, that I wish I'd have paid more attention to the people, my older folks, you know? I wish I'd have listened more to my grandfather and even my father. So, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'm not a real brainiac, but I think, you know, just life experience brings on a little wisdom. And, yeah, I kind of wish I could get the younger folks to tune in to me a little more.
Yeah, I truly feel your heartfelt sentiments. You know, Wayne, is there anything else that you would like to add before I let this caller go?
I'll see you again soon, Tom. See you, Tom.
You guys are doing a good job.
Thanks, man. Thanks for the support, brother.
Bye for now.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take the next caller. Caller, you're on the Fighter's Voice.
Hello?
Yes. You're on the Fighter's Voice.
Yeah, hello. I'm a senior and a baby boomer, of course. And I saw what Pierre Trudeau did to this country. We went in 78 to Alberta, and he had just about decimated it. And it was terrible what he had done. We were looking for work, but it was jobs for Albertans, which, of course, we understood. We were there for a month. But what I'm trying to say is, as a baby boomer or whatever, the best years, we had the best that this country could offer. We had good leaders. Pierre Trudeau came in, and we all know what happened. He just about decimated the West, brought up interest rates on mortgages where stay-at-home moms had to leave their homes in order to help their husbands by working to keep their own homes. And it's just terrible, and I'm just seeing a repeat of what he did. The oil prices plummeting, getting our resources stopped, and everything else. We've seen it. We're trying to tell people what happened, but nobody is listening.
Thank you for that, caller. I was an Alberta kid, and I remember that when we went from being able to go to hockey programs while we were growing up, wanting to be Wayne Gretzky, and a couple of months later, almost it seemed overnight, we were taking potato sandwiches to school, and there was no more programs, there was no more work, and that happened. That pain was suffered through Alberta for about 15 years. And what I failed to realize then, and I ended up growing up with a deep-seated anger for Quebec in the East, and I didn't realize until I went on that convoy across Ottawa that it was not the people of Quebec, it was not the people of the East, but it was one man with a corrupt system that committed horrendous acts of treason against Canada when he got rid of our own banking system and brought in international banking, and then brought in the lie that was our constitution and sold us out as to a de facto government. So I completely understand your point, and thank you for bringing that up, because so many Canadians don't know their own history anymore, and they don't realize the generational implications of this person that is in control right now.
Yeah, well, the one thing that angers me is we were taught to respect our seniors or whatever, but now I seem to feel a kind of a hatred. There was even people posting that seniors are just a burden. We're a burden? I mean, we helped build this country. My father went to war. He served 5 years in the Second World War, 2 years in Korea. My father-in-law, too. And I see everything they fought for being totally destroyed.
Well, ma'am, your whole family served, and thank you for your family service, because without your dad at home for those 5 years, you guys were paying a price for Canada, too. And this is what we need to remember, is the people that built this country that are being literally abused and genocided. And we've been covering some stories on that a little bit as well, where our government has an active agenda against seniors in our country. And this makes me so furious as a Canadian that people won't stand up for the seniors and the babies. It's beyond comprehension to me.
I know, we're expendable. I mean, my father-in-law went to war too. He was just married 2 months and he was sent away. And the one thing is, these veterans never spoke about the war. The only thing my father-in-law ever said, my dad never wanted to talk about it at all. At all. We don't even know where he was posted or whatever. He never talked about it. My father-in-law was there when they liberated Holland, or the Dutch, or I forget exactly. But he used to hate cats because he says, the only thing he said, you know what? People were starving. They were dead on the streets, he said, but the cats were fat.
Oh my goodness!
Wow,
and I've heard I've spent
That's
some time in Europe and heard some of those stories too, and it's frightening to me. And I hate to say it, but you're not just expendable as seniors in this country. You're being targeted because you bring exactly that wisdom and experience that they do not want the rest of Canada to know. So thank you for sharing that. Keep booming your voice loud, ma'am. Keep shouting to the world.
The problem is they do not teach history in school anymore like they did to us.
No, they took it right out. Same with prayer.
They don't know what they went through.
The needs of the schooling system changed. When they were building this country, they needed to train workers and people to be good employees. Now they need to program people for a different agenda. So the training, the school is a training program. It's a 12-year training program, basically, but the needs have changed, so has the curriculums.
Yeah, and like this climate change, we've been through so many scares of climate change going, you know yourself, going through school, the ozone layer, this, that. Okay, they want to get rid of fossil fuels, but I have not yet anybody come up with a resolution to get rid of fossil fuels. What will we heat with? We see their agenda, but we see no solutions.
No, they don't supply any solutions whatsoever, you know. Which is kind of sad,
exactly.
Other than like renewable energy, which is not compatible right now, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and this is an old ruse that's been played out, you know, for hundreds of years. So we've got the whole world being expected to turn on a dime because a self-professed mentally ill school dropout says, "How dare you?"
Yeah. Well, Canada is a beautiful country, and it can be self-sufficient. We have the resources.
We should be the richest. We should have the richest individual population on the planet for our resources,
yes,
versus our population.
Yes.
And we are giving our kids' future away by not fighting for it.
Yeah. And we got the top technology to keep things clean here, too, you know?
Yes. Well, anyways, God bless Canada, and God bless the West, and stay strong, because we're fighting for you. I'm from Northern Ontario, and we're fighting.
God bless you, ma'am. Thank
keep
you.
Fighting.
Ma'am, I would just like to add one more thing. You know, I'm 55 years old, and I was taught as a young man to respect my elders, because that is where the knowledge lies. So with Wayne saying and articulating it so well, and Derek also, you know, you are the truth, you are the wisdom, you are the path that the younger Canadians need to look up to and cling on to and respect, because you, my friend, you're the truest form of a patriot. You're where the future lies, and it just saddens me that the young don't really respect or give you the gratitude that they should. And I want to just thank you for calling in tonight.
Well, you're very welcome. And my sons are right behind me, too. So,
perfect.
Yeah, they are.
Well, God
right
bless you all.
Then I'm sure you're in good hands.
God bless Canada, because we need to take back our country, because this, I'm sorry, I'm going to go into a spiel here, but this little dipshit. I'm sorry. Okay.
You're fine. Yeah, you're fine.
He needs to be gone real quick, like what they tried to do in Newfoundland to their prime minister. Okay?
It's not the first time that's been suggested, so you're all right.
Yeah.
God bless
God bless.
God bless.
You know, I'm not going to be more callers. I kind of
have an answer with you know, the way that kids that are disrespecting their elders, because they're being taught socialism, right? And as they look at the elders in Canada, they're the capitalists that built this country. So that's what fuels the youth to disrespect their elders. It's crazy. It's nuts.
You know, tonight has been quite the night. You know, I appreciate the callers, because it doesn't just give the world our base scenarios, our thoughts, our ethics. It lets the world hear the true truths of the people that are walking the everyday struggle in Canada. And it gives the people in the United States a brighter spectrum. You know, you had Mr. Kissin on the other day. And, Wayne, you know I'm quite vocal about certain things. You know, and I have told Canada on your show, I have told people on my side, you know, the people down here really don't know what is truly going on up there. And the proof was quite evident when you had Mr. Kissin on, because it looked like the look on his face, like he was astounded. You know, brother, I know tonight was an impromptu show because we decided to do it because we'll get a vaster audience because we want the voices of the Canadian people to be heard. The show was really a correlation of the world because, you know, like I told your patriots and the Canadians when we first started doing shows, it's far more worse up there, which I still believe it truly is. So I think the world needs to hear your story. But I am witnessing atrocities firsthand in the United States that I, as a 55-year-old man, never thought I would ever see. To hear that gracious, beautiful senior citizen come on the show and say that life will never be, she's absolutely right. You know, unless we stand up and we fight and we show them that we're not going to take this crap. You know, I love doing shows with both you and Derek because it allows the Canadian voice, the voice of the patriot, the true voice to be heard worldwide. You know, it doesn't matter if people care, you know, or send me derogatory remarks or death threats or things of this nature. You know, I created this platform many years ago to give people a voice. And I'll be damned if I'm going to let fear-mongering or any aspect let me take that voice away from you, Derek, or any of the patriots of Canada. You know, we are all one. There's no border. You know, I love you guys as my brothers. I love the patriots as my brothers. You know, we're all in one big catastrophic fight right now. And if we don't stand up now and face the future, then there will be no future. You know, Wayne, I'm going to pass the mic to you on a final thought of the evening, and then I'll pass it to Derek.
Well, you know, that's the biggest thing that I had hoped out of these shows that you've so generously given us an opportunity to reach the American people and the people of the world, because the one thing we cannot convey to them is how much suppression there really is going on, how much they are not hearing. They think if they tune into any of the mainstream media going on in Canada, they would think that Canada is against America, that we are fighting everything that you guys are trying to do, and that could not be further from the truth. We have a small, basically infiltrated power group that has taken control of Canada in literally a globalist coup, because Canadians were not ever given a choice or a vote about any single United Nations policy that these guys have enforced in Canada. No Canadian was ever asked. So this legitimately is, by definition, a coup, and there's never been a case in history, as far as I can remember, where a dictator or a social communist leader has willingly said, okay, you complained enough, you guys can have your country back. So this, with the perfect storm of things that are happening, the economy, with extreme number of eco-terrorist events that are taking place, is all meant and created to keep us divided, to keep us separated. And now with this global health pandemic, to keep us isolated in our homes so we cannot unite, while they again push some foreign agenda on the people. And if we at any point, I believe, stand up, right now we're, you guys are, do you guys call it martial law in the States? Here we call it the War Measures Act. And we're all but under that right now, with our military bases under 3-week quarantine. Our borders are finally closing, it seems. Flights are starting to be curtailed. So it's going to be really, really difficult to voice an opposition or raise an opposition to this impending storm that's coming. So I hope personally from the side of the conspiracy groups, as they're falsely labeled, the conspiracy analyst groups, that this storm is of the White Hats putting things back in order. So be aware of these conversations and things. This conversation with the health crisis leads to something different, create a problem, and provide a solution. Their solution is not going to be one that we're going to agree with, and we cannot comply. We do not dare comply this time. That's all I got today on that.
Derek?
Well, I gotta bring up one thing. Well, our Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is in quarantine. He's still letting all these illegal migrants come in across Roxham Road. Does he really care about Canadians? You know, they're not screening these people as they're still coming in, and he wants to. It seems like he wants us to get infected or whatever that's going around. But since our government doesn't care about us, we gotta care about each other. Stand up together. Fight together, voice our opinions together, and keep fighting strong for America and Canada. We're in this together, folks.
Yeah, we truly are. You know, I, as a 55-year-old man, I stated earlier, I never thought that I would walk into a grocery store and not see one single item of meat on the shelf in a major store. You know, it's taken me several trips to ensure that my family will be fed for the next couple months. And, you know, it's crazy. You know, airports, like I said, are being shut down. All the events nationwide have been shut down. Any business establishment with over 100 people, that includes the staff or anybody, cannot be open. You know, it is the beginning of martial law. Here in the United States, it's the downfall of America and Canada. You're a step ahead of us, you know, so we got to be stronger. We've got to fight this fight even more now than we ever have in the past. You know, if we don't, we will be overcome. And I, for one, as a middle-aged man, will not sit. We have some control and take back some of the animosity in our life. You know, Wayne and Derek, I'll be joining you hopefully on a live here in a few minutes. You know, I love that we get the opportunity to share Canada with the world. You know, it saddens me that not that many people have really understood the Canadian plight and the patriot plight. But as a man, I give you my word, as a brother, I give you my promise that we will continue every Wednesday to share the voice of the Canadian people. We will make sure that the voice of the Canadians is heard. With that being said, brothers, I love you. I can't wait until Wednesday. But most importantly, we all need to stand strong. Unity is our only hope. You know, fighting back is the only way we have. With that being
said, it's the Patriots' time to shine.
Oh, most definitely. Where can my listeners, the listeners worldwide, and other listeners in Canada that are tuning in for the first time, where could they reach out and listen to more of what's going on in Canada on the social media aspect?
Well, you can find me at Derek Story on Facebook and Noble Savages on YouTube, and you can reach me out on there.
And I'm really super easy to find. All you have to do is Google Wayne Peters Live, and your feed will be full of entertainment and news. What's Up Canada is the platform, and you'll find us on every major platform out there. As long as they allow us, we will keep fighting for the voice of Canadians.
Did you ever think, on a whimsical note, did you ever think it would be an American that wanted to share the voice of Canada? You know, I've been known for going against the grain for years. You know, I've taken up plights of many people, but this one truly touches my heart. You know, Wayne, I'm truly glad I reached out to you that day. I truly am.
I am too, brother. You know, and it's something that I've learned over the years too, is the more time that I've spent in the United States and abroad, that there's more people are curious about Canada in the United States than they are abroad. We don't really have much of an impact, and we're not that similar to other countries. But to our American brothers and sisters, it's like when you meet your doppelganger, you know, it looks like you, talks like you, sounds like you, but you know you're different, so you want to be curious, right? So I think that's kind of it. And I've always enjoyed so much the discovering these differences in our cultures that are still so similar, and our passions and our beliefs and our desires and our prayers are all so similar, but yet there are so many beautiful nuances and differences that it's a perfect relationship.
Yes, it truly is. You know, I apologize to the listeners. I don't know if my show was trying to be shut down in the beginning. I was kicked out of my studio, which it's always funny. Something happens when we do a live with, you know, these types of stories. But, hey, we brought it together. We made it happen. Until Wednesday, Canada, I love you. Wayne, Derek, keep fighting the fight. I love you, my brothers. I'll join you on a live here shortly. To everybody that listens to tonight's show, thank you. Have a good night. And God bless. Wow. You know, I tell you what, we touched a lot of topics, but I tell you what, the calls that we've got from the senior citizens, the patriots, this is what I want my show to be about. This is what I want heard from the world. You know, the world needs to hear your voices, not just the voice of journalists, but the voice of the people. The voice of the people is strong. It goes a lot further, and it creates, you know, a greater look at humanity and opens the hearts of several narrow-minded individuals. You know, I will continue to share the voice of Canada. You all have a good night, and God bless.